Welcome, everybody listening to the Encounter Church Sermon Podcast. Thank you for listening to this message. As you take time to process this teaching of Scripture, we at Encounter Church hope that it leads you to have a real and meaningful encounter with God, because we believe that people need an encounter with God more than anything else. So enjoy.
Aiden, put that picture up. This is a picture from last week. Yeah, there we go. We basically just demonstrated that an orange that has the peel around it floats, and once the peel is gone, an orange sinks. And so we did this at the end of our sermon. Last week we played pickleball, so 2 weeks ago, really just to demonstrate the principle that what we are surrounded by matters, and what we are surrounded by is just important in life. And so if you're wondering, like, where did they get this series title, Oranges, it's really just to help us remember that as God is revealing himself to us in Scripture, and as he's revealing his Spirit to us, there is actually a lot of teaching in Scripture that discusses and points our attention to the fact that what you are surrounded by will determine in some ways whether you float or sink, just in life, when you think about that. And so we just wanted to give you guys a visual, something, you know, a little hands-on, a little fun. And I'm afraid now that some of these balloons have some orange stuff on, at any moment they could pop, so I apologize. This could get really fun, especially as, you know, like reading the Word of God and doing some great stuff. But the great thing about Encounter is that we have a lot of variety, and the reason why we have a lot of variety here at Encounter is because we wanted to create space for the things that mattered. And so we believe that the preaching of the Word of God matters, and so tonight you came, and so we worship in a sermon, which we're going to get to here in just a second. But we also believe that community needs to be woven together by sitting down and eating together and celebrating communion and hearing the testimonies of the people from within the congregation. And so it's hard when you do the same thing every Sunday to create the ample space for that. And so we were like, in launching this new church, we've got all this great flexibility and permissions and freedoms to create space for things that we know God wants us to do and believes is important. And another one of our service types, too, is worship and prayer. We believe that prayer is important. Prayer is our conversation with God, and also prayer is our encouragement to one another. And so we have a worship and prayer service coming up in a little while, and those worship and prayer services, there's not a sermon during those nights, but the band sings and leads us in worship, and then we do we pray individually, we pray with our families, we pray for our friends, and sometimes we do some creative prayer exercises in that too. It's really, really fun. We believe that prayer is important, and we want to create space for that. One of the things that was important to my wife and I is that we would pray together in church. One of the great things about Encounter Church is we have these variety of services all designed around Acts chapter 2, where you see what the early church was practicing. And so we put time and effort into making sure we have ample space for these things to develop. And so we just want to thank you for coming and being a part of tonight. Tonight's worship and a sermon. Next week is communion. We're going to share a meal together, and we're going to have four people baptized, and they're all going to share their testimonies and glorify Jesus, and our hearts are going to be filled. We're going to be so excited for these people, and it's going to be really, really fun. I'm going to say this phrase that is a phrase that I used to repeat to the graduating class of the youth group that I was leading. I was a youth pastor for 16 years, and when I got an opportunity to speak to our graduating class individually, which didn't happen very often, I've had the opportunity to speak at a couple baccalaureate services, both at Conrad Weiser and at Wilson, and this was a line that I tried to repeat over and over and over again to people who are launching from one phase into the next. And so we're a church that is new to the area, even though the people who are part of the launch team and partner members are all from this community, we are, in a sense, launching into a new phase of our Christian life and our church life and our community life and the way that we see God and engage with each other in the world. This phrase, success in the next phase of your life is going to come down to who you know. Success in the next phase of your life is going to come down to who you know. And the first person that you need to know is Jesus. Can anybody just give me an amen on that one? Come on. The first person that you need to know is Jesus. Because the success in the next phase of your life is going to come down to who you know. And you need to know Jesus in whatever is next in your life, in whatever is coming up after today,
And whatever season is in front of you, or whatever season you are in the middle of, you need to know Jesus. This is not a joke. Hear me out. And let me describe a little bit about what I mean. When I heard these verses for the first time as a brand new Christian, it opened my mind to just expand my understanding of who Jesus is. Now, when I became a Christian, I was 21 years old, had a good friend who was sharing the gospel with me, and he was helping me understand Jesus' sacrifice, his body and blood on the cross. And I was just like, wow, Jesus is an absolute hero. The work that he did on the cross was heroic. And I remember giving my life to Jesus, but about 8 months after that, I was sitting in a chapel service, because I had applied and then started attending a Bible college. I was a brand new Christian. I was 21 years old. I didn't know a whole lot about the Bible my freshman year. I was surrounded by all these kids who came from Christian schools. They're missionary kids from all over the world. And I was like, wow, these guys know so much. And I remember the chapel speaker this day reading Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 15, and it just opened my mind to all that Jesus is. And it says this: Jesus, you can read along with me on the screen. I'm reading from the NLT version. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. What I loved about that statement in that moment when I was hearing it for the first time is it took a generic understanding that, okay, God made the world, to a very specific, that through the Savior who came down to earth and put on flesh and then went to the cross and died in that flesh, specifically through him, God was doing a work in creating the world that was magnificent. He made the things that we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Takes the generic and makes it very specific. Everything was created through him and for him. Right there is purpose and meaning behind it all. Your life, the breath you have in your lungs, the house that you live in, the place where you go after you leave church and you come to church and you work and the families that you're a part of and the schools that you go to, all have a purpose and a meaning. And that is for him. Speaking of Jesus, Paul continues to write in Colossians. He says, he existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. That's why we're flying around the sun at thousands of miles an hour, and we're not flying off the earth in some wild way. The earth is rotating and spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, give or take. Like, I know there's a precise number, but like, when you think about this, how finely tuned our solar system is and how amazing the galaxy is that we are a part of, and how nothing's on this earth is sort of like freezing out or burning up or going out. It's just sustained. The sun is just burning and burning and burning. Sometimes I would just, when I was a kid, I would grab a blanket and I would lay out in my yard and look up at the sky and I would just wonder, but like, why don't those things ever go out? Like, and actually they do go out sometimes, but like, we live in a world that is sustained by God, that is held together. And so is this world ever going to fall apart aside from his watch? No, it's not going to just fall apart, go to pieces, and crumble. But someday Jesus is going to return. He's going to return with a purpose. He's going to return with power. He's going to remake everything the way that he wanted it to be before sin. I can't wait for that day. I can't wait for that day to come when the earth is again like Eden. But Jesus is not just passive in the world that we live in. He's active. It says, in him, all things hold together. All things hold together. I'm going to read wherever you guys go. Okay, there we go. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all, who would rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God, in all of his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's shed blood on the cross. Things were brought to peace. I was brought to peace with God the Father through the blood of Jesus. Reconciled, made right from my wrongs, made 21 years of of living in rebellion, 21 years of being an enemy of God, 21 years of living my own way and thinking about the world, how I wanted to think about it, in a me-centric, me-centered, humanistic way, suddenly Christ on the cross made sense. Suddenly there was a purpose behind the things that he did when he went there. Jesus is not just a fictional character. And for those of you in this room who have a relationship with Jesus, you know that he is not a made-up historical figure. It is widely documented, widely written about, widely celebrated that Jesus existed, and he taught, and he had followers, and he influenced, and he changed the landscape of the world that we live in. Jesus lived, he walked, he talked among people. His life has been recorded in the pages of Scripture, but also in historical record. But his life, although it was written by historians and philosophers, it went on to influence the world in incredible ways. Jesus is not just a fictional character, but he is one who has changed the world, and there's a purpose behind what he is doing. And this passage of Scripture paints a beautiful picture of who Jesus is. Let me highlight two things from this passage. I've already highlighted a number, but let me just go back and highlight two more. It says in there that Jesus is the exact representation of an invisible God. Now, if there is anyone in your life who says, I would believe in God if I could see him. You ever have anybody in your life who's like, I would believe him if I could see him? You know, sometimes on our Encounter social media accounts, actually it's only ever on Facebook. So it's like classic Facebook to have all the trolls come out, you know, and like make comments on your videos and stuff. Like every once in a while, we'll put a sermon clip out of something, and it always seems to be centered around the same thing. Do you have any proof? And it's like, I mean, I'd be happy to sit down and like talk with people about that if they want, but like, you know, that's a question that can't be resolved through Facebook comments. But Jesus is and is described as the exact representation of invisible God. So if you have ever in your life said, man, this would be a lot easier if I could just see it, you're in good company. I remember when I was young, I remember even a couple times in my Christian life that I have had a few moments where I'm like really struggling to know what God's will is, really struggling to know like what I'm supposed to do next, like either with my life or just my work or my family or something. I'm like, God, if you could just write the answer to my questions on the wall, I would know for sure what you want me to do about this. I would know for sure how you want me to act in this way. But he never did it in that way. But Jesus is the image of the invisible. And so if you at any point in your life have ever said, where is God? It would be a lot easier to believe in him if I could see him. Or if you have a friend in your life or anyone in your life who says, like, it would be a lot easier to believe in God if I could see God, you point them to Jesus. You point yourself to Jesus, and you point your family to Jesus. You point your friends to Jesus. It's probably not going to happen in a way that you, like, I don't know, hope it will by just some manifestation. But here, let me make this suggestion. You look at Jesus. You read about his life. You listen to the instructions that he gave on how to live, and you observe the way that Jesus loved others, and you will get what you are looking for. You will see God. You will see God. You will see God in the flesh. You will see God acting in ways that he designed. You will see Jesus acting in ways that your heart is drawn to. Why? Because you are made by God and therefore given in your soul a desire to long for the one who has made you. Just like a child longs for their mama. You know, there is no connection like I have observed between a kid and their mama, who's just like, you know, especially a little kid who just like, you know, just reaches up, like when they're hurt or they need something. Why? Because they know, because they came from their mama. Their mother has a special connection that exists in there that is unlike anything else. You look into the world, you can make these observations when you look hard enough. Where is God? You look at Jesus and you will see him. You look at Jesus and you will see the evidence and the example of him. Here's what else Paul says in Colossians, that Jesus existed eternally. This is really good news, people. Really good news. Here's why. Because he's been around a long time before you and I were born. He knows what is ahead of you, and he has lived through struggles before you even knew them. He has lived through them before you even knew him. There is no amount of counsel or wisdom that you can get on this earth that would surpass the amount of or the level of life-changing, relationship-changing wisdom that comes from following the commands and the instructions of Jesus. his life, his record, his work, his sacrifice is paramount to anything else on this earth that has come. He has eternally existed. And so if there is anything that you need in your life, if there is any bit of strength or courage that you need for the season that's ahead, if there is anything that is unknown or needs to be resolved, Jesus can help you resolve it. His wisdom beyond our understanding that is unmatched. He has eternally existed. There is nothing that has happened apart from his knowledge. Nothing. Wild. That's amazing. And so, who's the first person you need to know in life? Success in the next phase of your life depends on who you know. The first person you need to know is Jesus. The first person you need to know is Jesus. Is there anyone in the last 10 minutes of me talking that could replace anything that I have just shared? No, it's Jesus. You need to know Jesus. Success in the next phase of your life comes down to who you know, and the first one you need to know is Jesus. Here's the second one and the last one. The second one you need to know is a community of people who know Jesus. So you need to know Jesus, that's one. But the second one is you need to know a community of people who know Jesus, and that's where this awesome church comes in. I'm just going to say it's an awesome church. Listen, we're new. We're small. We don't have a latte bar. That's okay. But, you know, church plants got to start somewhere, right? And what's great is they get to start with people like you. People like you who are willing to take a chance. People like you who are willing to put yourself into something. People like you who are willing to invest in a strategy, in a discipleship model that is consistent with Matthew 28, that is to make immature disciples so that we can all be better. Now, we wanted you to remember the scriptures tonight with balloons popping, but I think you're actually going to remember tonight by the balloons not popping because it was really embarrassing. So I'm just going to embrace it and own it. The balloons didn't pop, y'all. They did in my kitchen. But anyway, you need to know Jesus, but you also need to know a community of people who know Jesus. Here's why. The healthiest communities that exist in the world are made up of communities of people who are following Jesus. Thank you for saying it with me. I want to challenge you all tonight to commit to partnering in this awesome community and encounter. Here's why being an active member of a faith community matters. Here's why. Let me just, in case you're wondering, in case you're just like, yeah, I'm not sure if I need to, blah, 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 whatever. Let me just give you three reasons. When you feel like the pressure of the next phase or year of your life is too great, a community of people who believe in Jesus will remind you of this. Proverbs. Can you put Proverbs up? Ready? Click. Next slide. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. When the pressure of whatever is next in your life begins to mount and it feels insurmountable, it begins to feel like a pressure you can't handle, like there's a decision that needs to be made that you don't know what to do on, when there is a change or a disruption to the flow in your life in a way that is confusing or has created chaos, a community of people who are following Jesus will take everything that Jesus is and Jesus has given to them and the infinite knowledge that comes from him and be able to pour that into you. What you are surrounded by matters. Like an orange peel, the peel determines whether that orange sinks or floats. Who and what you are surrounded by matters. It will determine if you sink or float. When you feel that God is not present in your circumstances, if you feel like, where is he? I feel like he's been quiet for a couple years. One of the, actually, this question when I was a youth pastor came up a lot. Right around like 10th, 11th grade, it seemed like everyone was just like, I'm not hearing God anymore. Like, I just don't feel like he's around anymore. And it was a question that would come up a lot. As though feeling God was an expectation that God gives, which he doesn't, but like the expectation was, if God's going to be near to me, I'm going to feel that he's near to me. Well, sometimes it's not always about feeling. It's not always about like a, you know, the heebie-jeebies or like the liver shivers or those butterflies you get in your stomach or those emotional moments in worship where you're singing. Sometimes faith comes with a
just the grit of the confidence and the assurance of the scriptures that have been given to us. In Romans chapter 8, a community of faith will remind you in those moments. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. For I am convinced, he says, that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. That nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. In that season, when it feels like God is far away and you're wondering if he is even real or if he is even near to me, is concerned about me, or wonders if he even sees what's going on in my life that is creating chaos, a community of faith will remind you, hey, have you read Romans 8 today? Let me just remind you that not even the powers of hell can separate you from his presence. Amen? Yes? Here's the last one. I try to tell this to college students. When I was given the opportunity, and I really focused on this one at the baccalaureate services that I had the privilege of leading, because a community of faith is so important, because so many, you guys, adults in the room, you know this, so many of your life's regrets, don't they come back to two things? The people you were hanging out with at the time, and sometime in your like early to mid-20s, remember? When you're just like a little bit of a, like a, there was just a lot of chaos. You were making decisions, you know. Well, sometimes a community of faith can come alongside of you and remind you the good news, what God says to us. One of the good things, 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9, put up on the screen for me. 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins to him, this is good. This is really good news. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Faithful. Just. Why is he faithful? Because he never abandons you. Not even the powers of hell can separate you from the presence of God. He is faithful. Why is he just? Because his son, Jesus, fully paid for the debt we owe. And he will make you clean again. And he will give you a fresh start and a second chance to have a relationship with him that is good and that is right. What you are surrounded by matters. That's why we call this series Oranges. Because you take an orange peel off an orange, it sinks. But the peel protects that orange. The part that everybody wants to eat. The part that we get our juice from. The part that is sweet to the taste. Protects that orange. Jesus is someone you need to know. But a community of people who know Jesus is something you need to be a part of. Here's another great thing about an awesome community like here tonight. This community isn't perfect. This community here at Encounter is full of imperfect people who make mistakes, who fail at times, and sometimes our perspectives don't fully align what we want. Sometimes it's different. Our triggers are all unique to ourselves. And sometimes we have personal beliefs on certain things that don't always bring unity. But what's great about the community and Encounter here is we are unified on the core things. We're unified on the main things. That the Word of God is the Word of God and can be trusted and is without error. That Jesus, who is the Son of God, died on the cross for our sins. And that we as a community of people have the Holy Spirit who empowers our work. And one of the things that we agree on as a community is that discipleship is not just a one-day event. Discipleship is a process that involves all sorts of different things. It involves praying and learning and listening and serving and fun and community and all sorts of great things that help us grow over time. It's not a problem that we are imperfect here. Actually, the problem is more comes down to, am I tolerant of one another in a way that allows us to be unified on the things that matter? Another great thing about a healthy community is that sometimes a healthy community will allow room for you to doubt a few things. For you to doubt at times. Doubt is not a sin. Doubt is not a sin, like temptation is not a sin, but it's the thing that comes after that that becomes a problem. Everybody doubts. Doubt is normal. Doubt is actually displays, you have a depth of knowledge about things and you're observant, where sometimes you observe things or you learn something new and you're just like, huh, I never really thought about that. I wonder how that fits.
into the Bible. And then you go, that's not what my parents told me when I was a kid. And you doubt, but that's okay. What you are surrounded by matters, because your community of faith will be stable, will be secure, and will be strong to protect you while you navigate that doubt. Community of faith is beautiful. It's awesome. A healthy community isn't made up of perfect people, but of people who are trying to follow Jesus. Healthy community. At Encounter Church, and we're going to bring Marissa up here in just a second, because she's going to help us get together here next month. At Encounter, we don't have small groups. And it's funny, when people come in to Encounter, they're just like, I want to join a small group, I want to get to know people. This is really truthful and really honest, but I hope it's cool with you. I'm just going to say the really true and honest thing. You can challenge me this after the service if you want, but it is not natural to sit in a circle when you're hanging out with your friends and watch a video on Right Now Media and call that relationships. That's not normal. Like, you don't do that. When your friends text you and it's like, hey, it's Friday, you want to get together? Sure. What do you want to do? Sit in a circle and watch a 10-minute Bible study? Nobody does that normally. Christians do that because we've been told that that's what we're supposed to do. But here's what we think. We think that church can be a participation. And that's why we create space for all of those things that would normally happen in a small group setting right here in our church service. Sometimes we don't gather here because we go to Hope Rescue Mission and we serve. Why? Because serving changes you. Why? Because we're called to serve. Why? Because they need it. And so we go. And with our hands and with our bodies and with our friendships, we serve together. It's not a sign up. It's not an extra. It's not an add-on. We cancel church when everybody's planned to be here so that there's no excuse. You can just go and join in. Something that's good, not only good for you, not only good for someone else, but also something that pleases God. We're not a church of small groups. We want to be a church of authority. We want to be a church of empowerment. Here's what we want to do instead of small groups. We want to put the power and the authority for your relationships in your lap. Why? Because when you claim the greatest level of authority over yourself, you will become the greatest disciple maker. You will become a better disciple maker the more authority you claim for your life. The more authority that you take in your life to learn the Bible, to make relationships that are meaningful and important, to serve in the community that you're a part of, to pray without having someone else do it all for you, you will be a better disciple maker, according to Matthew 28, in which there is no limit between man or woman, church pastor or congregation member or whatever. The mission is for everybody. Go out into all the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all the things that I have commanded to you. The more authority you claim personally for yourself, the stronger, the more confident you will be, and the better and deeper and the more active and the more able you will be in this life to be who Jesus is calling you and wiring you and making you to be. And so we want to lean into that. That's a reality that we observe, but man, it doesn't grow churches. You can laugh at that. That's a joke. That's actually a really personal thing for me because we're like almost a year and a half into this, and we're just like, people are really afraid when as soon as you say authority, people are really afraid as soon as you say, like, I'm going to pray with my family in church. And they're just like, maybe I won't go to that church. Like, you got to pray with your family in church. You got to go and serve. Serving matters. Serving is important. Authority is important. And so let me tell you how we're working this out. Is we need more people who claim the authority that they have to create meaningful relationships with people who are intentionally following Jesus. And so I would ask you, you know, if you're here and you want to make friends, if you're new, like, you know, obviously you're new, you don't know anybody yet. But I would just ask, you know, who have you invited from Encounter over to your house yet? And what are you waiting for? Why? Wait. If you're looking for someone to do it for you. There are churches who will do that. But here's where we're at. Here's what we want to do. We want you to claim the authority that you have to make relationships and to make them happen. Because we believe that what you are surrounded by matters. And so I would challenge you. Are you surrounding yourself with the people in your life who will protect you when you need it the most? Here's what's great, is that Encounter Church, we don't provide small groups, but we do provide, I believe, more than that, because we provide opportunity. Here's what I mean by opportunity. Here's how. When we serve, you just heard me say this already a little bit, but when we serve, excuse me, I'm getting choked up. When we serve together. That's awesome. That's awesome. When we go, we're like, our leadership is going to make it possible for you during the time when you've signed up to come to church to get there without any excuse. We're going to eliminate all the excuses. When we serve together. And when we serve together, we encourage one another. How do we encourage one another? We say nice things to each other. We pat each other on the back. We see each other serving in ways that we hadn't seen before, and we see gifts come out of people in ways that we didn't even know about. And we accomplish more together as a church. When we share a communion meal together, here's the opportunity that Encounter provides for you. Though we don't provide you with a small group at this stage, here's what we do provide. Regular sit-down meals together. Meals together. You get the opportunity in a natural way to share a meal with other people in your church. And what does this provide for? It provides space for us to follow up with our friends. It provides space for us to check in on the relationships that we have in church in a natural way around a meal. Communion Sundays are where we get to know people we don't know yet. Communion Sundays are where we get to sit down and have a meal with someone and be like, I wonder, you know, if this is a person I want to hang out with on a Saturday night. Or I wonder if their kids want to get together with my kids for a play date. Communion provides the opportunity and the chance to practice hospitality by welcoming new people to our table. You can come sit with us. Should be ready on our lips at communion meals. Why? Because we're going to give people authority to make relationships happen. Because when you claim the greater level of authority, you become a better disciple maker in your life. Sometimes at communion meals, you just decide, like, is this a person I want to have a game night with? Or is this another couple I want to play pickleball with? Great things happen when we claim the authority that we have and put ourselves out there in faith and trust. And it is scary for the introverts. It is scary for those who are nervous around it. I totally get it. I understand it. But Jesus wants you to have authority in your life. Authority. And you have to surround yourself with the things in your life that matter the most. Knowing Jesus and being engaged in a community of people who know Jesus are two things that matter a ton. So, at Encounter Church, now, we have amazing vision here at Encounter. But our vision is not fully realized because we need some more people. And as more people come, the vision for Encounter can expand. We have things that we have planned that aren't happening yet because we're waiting for the right people. But one of the cool things we've always wanted to do is have meetups. Social meetups, environments for people to get together in a natural, normal way, just like you would do with your friends. And I put this out there last fall, and Marissa and Britt, who is not here tonight, they were like, we are your people. Like, we are your meetup coordinators. So why don't you guys put your hands together real quick for Marissa.
Thank you for listening. We hope you'll join us one day as we strive to engage the disciple of Christ with multiple learning styles, hands-on creatives, and in-person serving in our community. Check us out at www.encounterchurchperks.com. Sign up for our weekly email. Follow us on social. Have a great rest of your week.